As long as we're on transportation, I had something I thought of last year. I think it was the Chamber and maybe Rockland Main Street got together and some of the merchants and did a shuttle mm-hmm. that took some people from here to the other end of Main Street, and then they were able to therefore walk back down. Many of them didn't want to traverse the hill on the way up, but coming back down on the hill is not so bad. I think that was good for merchants. I think that was good for people that may not, didn't want to walk all the way up the hill to experience downtown and to be able to go kind of to the far end, what they call the north end of Main Street, up by the ferry terminal, and let them off there, and then they could feel free to explore their way back down in a timely manner, right, I think. But, of course, that was an expense, and I don't know that we would be able to maintain that for everyone or how we manage that. But
well, it was privately funded, but the Chamber and Rockland Main Street both put in small amounts, and then a number of downtown merchants also chipped in on that effort. So we had that. We had five ships that were 2,000 plus passengers, and we ran that on all 5 days. And we had we counted close to 800 people that took that service, which we didn't charge the passengers for. It was just a free shuttle ticket to the other end of Main Street. So, and we did try to encourage those who were, you know, more physically fit and able to navigate the hill to do so, so that that was for folks that maybe would find that a little more challenging. So, but it's certainly something that we found successful. I think the merchants that also helped sponsor it found it successful and something that they would do again.
Are you talking about this cup?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was trying to think, where the hell?
Well, yeah. It's not much of a hell, but it depends on your perspective, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. I agree. Yeah. So,
time off pub. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe thinking about like using the other walking way and kind of giving them the route that goes around.
Yeah, up by the police station. Yeah.
So kind of like changing the mentality of where to walk.
Sure.
Would that be okay?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. What if, it's still a bit of a hill over there, but
yeah.
By the gardens over there. It's
shorter.
It's maybe a little more modest grade,
but
it's still a hill. Yeah. And once we get the Harbor Trail completely finished, which of course is going to be years, I'm sure, years in the making, then they'd be able to go further north on the Harbor Trail and then wander up at many different points. If they're able and physically fit enough.
I'll take all the way to the
Uniform Lounge. All the way to what? I could address that better than I can believe.
The Rockland Harbor Trail will go all the way to the Breakwater Lighthouse. Starts at Snow Marine Park and goes to the Breakwater. We did just in the last month start to mark the path here, and specifically for the cruise passengers. I received a request from Elizabeth. So we've started to mark it, and we're working with Dave of Public Service to get some grading done in certain areas so that there is a more demarked path. So that we're working on, it should be done within a month, right?
Should be.
I promise.
That's really interesting. One of the things that came out of the one of the economic impact studies was that one of the most popular things to do was to take the Harbor Trail, and specifically Bar Harbor, and they have a similar one, the Eastern Palm Trail in Portland. They count their steps, and then it's like a challenge to each other. How many steps did you do today? How many steps did you do today? So they were thinking, you know, how you could actually build that into a suggestion for walking in yourself, you know, getting your own little Bar Harbor on your own, Rockland on your own, whatever, and to do your steps and to get the activity in there. Fitbit challenge, exactly. So that's kind of great. Well, it's good to know that that's going to be
a little off topic, but while we're on the Harbor Trail subject, I would say both for cruise passengers and for land-based tourists there's a lot of people asking about that, and we have a map now in the Chamber office that we hand out to people. So we appreciate the efforts to mark it, and it does get a lot of use from visitors regardless of how they get there, so it's great.
Mm-hmm. And we do have a promise this year, Tom, from the city, that after a 2-year delay, that they will be finishing a really nice portion of the trail at the Atlantic section.
That's right.
Which is fabulous, because when the ACL especially are going for the lobsters, the lobster down at Sharp's Point, then they'll have a much better path, which will also be more ADA accessible.
That's
right?
Yes, correct.
No pressure.
Did you notice that promise?
Yeah. I think you're being recorded.
Yeah.
Yeah, we
to the question.
One of the issues that comes up sometimes with stakeholders, and I think Louise mentioned it, is concern about emissions from the ship itself. And I was wondering whether there's any good data on how those emissions compare for bringing visitors to Portland with land-based tourism, for example, and what you have for controls, and whether that should or shouldn't be a concern.
Sure. So the cruise industry continues to evolve in terms of its handling of emissions. Cruise ships today, most of them have the most advanced exhaust gas cleaning system, which remove a lot of the particles, etc. You can still sometimes see emissions coming out, but a lot of times it's condensation that's coming out. It's not really emissions that have been cleaned. We do have data on that, and I would be happy, I don't have it with me, but I'd be happy to follow up and provide that. And, I mean, if this would also be helpful at some future meeting here, we have a person on staff who is the penultimate expert on all of the environmental technologies that cruise ships use, expert on the data in terms of emissions, how we handle wastewater, etc. I mean, he could come up and meet and go over all of that. I'd be happy to do that. But I will circle back.
I think that would be key, because educating everybody.
Absolutely.
With the facts.
Right. Absolutely. That's an important role that we see ourselves at CLIA in providing, in terms of educating people. Because there are misperceptions out there about the industry and how it operates. I mean, literally, this goes this far, and we see this sometimes in news reports, that the cruise industry is not regulated. You know, we're one of the most heavily regulated industries in the world. We're regulated by the U.S. Coast Guard here. We're regulated by the IMO. We're regulated by every Coast Guard in every country that we visit. Environmental Protection Agency, Department of Homeland Services, Customs. I mean, the list goes on. So there's a lot of misperceptions, and we welcome the opportunity to educate people and provide the facts and the data. One exciting thing is that some of the cruise lines that are building right now, they're under construction on LNG powered cruise ships, you know, which virtually gets away with any kind of emissions concerns. Some of the first ones will be coming out, and I think around 2020. Well, doesn't mean there's going to be a lot of them right away. And with the way LNG works, you can't retrofit old ships to be able to do LNG. But that said, the exhaust gas cleaning systems that are being put on cruise ships today go beyond really the emissions requirements. I was in California. We had a discussion there with the California Air Resources Board, and one of the initiatives that the industry took, and Amy knows Tom Dowell very well, used to be with Carnival, worked on this specifically, this what's called shore power. Mm-hmm. And so you've got a ship there, and you turn off your engines and you plug into the electrical grid. And California had that. And so there were some Carnival ships that had added shore power technology onto their ships so that they could do that. Of course, you know, that's questionable. You talk to environmentalists, they say, well, that's great. You're just moving the carbons from the port over to the power plant that's, you know, providing the electricity to the ship. Mm-hmm. But the discussion was around these advanced exhaust gas cleaning systems that ships have on board today. Yeah. Many of them do. And even the regulators at the California Air Resources Board were saying that they've gotten the levels of particles and the emissions and everything down to such a level that it's almost on par with shore power, which is amazing.
Yeah.
So that's kind of obviating the need now, really, for shore power. Then you go to LNG ships. So the industry is very mindful of that. And, you know, Alaska has really tough standards on emissions, which our members meet.
I think to the extent that the industry proactively goes beyond environmental requirements might not be well known. And
I don't think it is, no. And that's something you need to give you my card. If you have a card of yours, you can send me an email and I can follow up with you on the data and other information. And then let me know if you'd like someone to come up and attend one of your meetings and provide a briefing and answer all your questions.
That'd be very good ideas. Yeah. Some of us have been fortunate enough to go on environmental tours on the cruise ships, which really have been an eye-opener to many. But if we could do that in a public setting and give the, not the tour, but the same information, I think that would go a long way.
Or if there was opportunity for a tour, I don't know, for interested stakeholders.
We have 6 opportunities this year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I've gone on a number of those with government officials that are always impressed. They had no idea what they do on a cruise ship to be environmentally friendly. I was on one tour with an EPA official in the Obama administration, and we took her on a tour of a Holland American ship in Seattle. And she was very tough. And she left extremely impressed. At one point, we went down to a section of the ship where they have all the everything for recycling and what they're doing with trash. It's, you know, that they work with vendors like waste management or whatever. And there was this crew member who had this big sort of stainless steel bowl with a hole, and he was taking some of the leftover food and he was putting it down the hole. And this is this EPA official looked at him and said, where is that going? And, of course, I thought, please, God, don't say it's going into the port water below. And he said, actually, we use it for fuel for a steam generator to do our laundry on the ship. She was extremely impressed. Yeah, she was very impressed with that. So, yeah, I think the tours are great. Amy's done thousands of those.
Yeah, we've done several here, and we're happy to continue to do that. I'm sure that Carnival would be happy to do that, provide that opportunity when the QM2 is here this fall.
I definitely need to do it.
Yeah.
It's not...